Welcome back to another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous with your hosts, Nick and Philip. Today, we're really wanting to dive into faith and what it means to be faithful to God and to Jesus and to what his message really means and what his plan means for you. So to kind of start this off, we have a verse there. If you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So when you read through the Gospels, right, you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have to understand these are eyewitness testimonies from some of his most loyal followers. And these are people who actually saw the miracles he did. They were able to see Jesus in the flesh. They were able to see the godly person that he was and everything that he stood for. But we don't have that in today's time, right? We don't see the work that God does because we're either blind to it or we just don't understand it. And that's where faith comes in. Faith is something... having faith in something you can't even see, something you can't even touch, that means more than anything. And reaching out to God in times of in need, whether you're super low in life or you know you're struggling with addiction or maybe you just lost your job, maybe just things aren't going your way, still having faith in the Lord that he'll take care of you and that he'll lead you out of whatever you know whatever you might be going through, that is faith. Having faith in the Lord at your lowest moments, not just in your highest moments, not just when you're sitting in the church pews, you know, singing the worship hymns, you know, reading the Bible verses in your Sunday school class. Having faith in the Lord whenever you get to the end of the week and your paychecks run out. Having faith in the Lord whenever you're down on your luck and you're at rock bottom, about to go back into your addiction. Having faith in the Lord that he can lead you out of any situation that, you know, having faith in the Lord that he'll lead you out of any situation that you ask him to, that is faith that's not seen. That is faith for things that you can hope for.
Yeah, and like you said, that's where the substance of it is found. It's not really a, you know, a lot of people like to see faith in their relationship as kind of this like feel good motivation thing. But the true substance of it is found when you're outside of the church doors, when you're living your day to day life. And that's where you can really tell where someone's faith is at. Faith is what gives us access to God and being able to fully experience what he has for us. Because without faith, it's hard to see that there is freedom set for us. When you're so caught up in your emotions and your day-to-day life that you feel like you don't have any kind of connection with the God that takes that away from you, that's where the faith comes in, because when you have the faith, you know that he's willing to take it from you. And for me specifically, one thing that's really hard is to remember that he will take it in every situation. You know, like you said, when you're wanting to give into that temptation or when you're just feeling down on yourself, it feels really easy to just dwell on it a lot of times. You get so caught up in just the thing within itself, you forget that we serve a God that's greater than all of this. And by keeping our eyes focused on him, and by keeping our eyes focused on the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, we're not going to gratify the desires of our flesh.
Right. And I think realistically, when you don't have faith, you have fear, right? Fear that something's going to happen. If you don't have faith that God can, you know, allow you to go home safely, then you're replaced with a fear, the fact that you might get in an accident today, or that you might get, you know, if you're someone who walks the sidewalks or whatever, you might have somebody jump out at you. You might have that fear in you, and that's natural. That's a natural reaction for humans to have, because there are predators out there. The devil's always out there to tempt you in one way or another, and one of those ways is through fear. Fear is one of the quickest ways to get you to sin, right? Fear that you can't be a better person. Fear that, you know, that this... you know, a few dollars that you have left in your bank account, it's not going to make it to the end of the week anyway, so why don't I just go and splurge it on a lottery ticket, and guess what? That's probably not going to work out either, because God doesn't like gambling. You know, fear that, you know, that you won't be happy without a, you know, without alcohol in your system, without some form of substance in your system, that'll lead you back into the sin that you just came out of. Having faith in the Lord that he can lead you out of those, you know, out of those substance abuses, out of those situations where, you know, just awful financial situations that you may find yourself in, that is when the times when you need the Lord most, and having faith in him to lead you out of those situations, to sit down and pray and to speak to God and to say, "Lord, please help me. I don't know what I'm doing." That's when the Lord wants you to lean into Him most, is when you're at rock bottom. Not when you're, as Nick said, not when you're sitting in church doors, not when you're sitting in the pews, not when you're singing the hymns, not when you're in your Sunday school class, not when you're talking to your church friends. It's at your lowest, in the loneliest parts of your life, at home, in your car, in the store. All these moments that God isn't right in front of you or easily accessible like it is in the church, those are the times you need faith the most, because those are the times you have the least, that's when you have the least amount of God around you, but He's always there with you. I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but
yeah, definitely. Faith, it feels so like abundant, and it feels so like you said, easily accessible when you're around it. But when we go back into our lives and we go back to our day to days and our jobs, like you said, that's when it's going to be the hardest. And like the Bible calls it the evil days. And it calls us to stand firm. I just finished up the book of Galatians and Ephesians, and those books are just about standing firm. The evil days are coming, but we serve a God that loves us and wants the best for us. And it's going to be so, especially in today's world, we're tempted in any and every possible way. I believe more than ever. We can fall to sin in relationships. We can fall to sin in business. We can fall to sin in just conversation. You go into the gas station and you're hit by all these different colors of sin. You know what I mean? And it feels so normal. And we live in such a time where sin just feels so normal. But by our faith, we are called against that. And like I said, when you're gratifying the spirit, you're not gratifying the flesh. And it's hard to walk in the spirit because it doesn't seem like it doesn't satisfy you in the moment. But through faith, we know that that's us walking that right path, that straight and narrow path, super easy to fall off of, but it only goes one way, and that's towards the kingdom of God. And through faith, we also know that all these other paths lead one way, that's away from God. And through His presence in our life, and the more His presence is in our life, the more we get to experience Him, Abba, our Father. And to being able to experience Him and being led from sin, you're going to experience His love. And what His love does is it gratifies us. And that's something that feels impossible to achieve in today's society. Whether it, you know what I mean? Like, the richest people in the world still are not satisfied. So to be satisfied exactly where you are is such a priceless feeling that can only be achieved through faith in Him, in which we are given that spirit that leads us towards Him. Hallelujah that we have not a distant God, but a God that is with us as close as our next breath. And through faith, we know that He's there. And through faith, it's all made accessible to us. You know, and it's such good news. I was just talking about this today. It's hard to comprehend. It just sounds too good to be true. Because the main issue we deal with in this life is our issues. You know, when you speak to most older people who aren't in the spirit, you just hear about how rough life has been, and how you just got to dwell through it. But Christ, that's not what Christ died for. He died so that we can live an abundant life. He died so that we may be able to experience Him day to day and experience the joy that He is offering us, but also being able to share that with others so others also may be able to experience that joy. Because the Bible says that like wealth is not found in those who are served, but those who do serve. So to be able to be satisfied and have a full heart it's uncomparable to anything this world has to offer, and it's only offered through faith.
Exactly. I mean, to kind of, you know, to firm your point up a little bit, I always like to throw a verse in when I can, and in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it tells us that there's it says it's there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So as God, as Nick has just said, you know, we have a God that's close with us. There is a God that literally walked the earth for us, a God that literally put himself on the cross for us and died, and he cleansed us of our sins because of that. By putting our faith in him, it's that simple. And Nick had actually even posted this on a story today, and it truly rang with me. The fact is, as simple as putting our faith in him, and full faith, not, well, faith only if things go the right way. Faith in all things. You know, when things aren't going good for you, that's not God, you know, that's not God trying to say that you're not a good person. That's God letting temptation take you so that we can lean just a little bit more into him. Maybe you've gone a little bit too far. Maybe you're not reading as much as you should be in his word. Maybe you're not living the way, you know, that you want to be. You know, as there was a verse that says earlier on from Peter that says, you know, I do the things I do not want. I do the things I don't want to do, but I don't do the things I want to. And that's because we are bound by our flesh and by the sins of our flesh more than we are bound by the righteousness of our heart. So by putting our faith in Jesus, all of those things become a lot easier. By looking to God to tell us, you know, where should we go next, that's how things should be. And to kind of lead into another verse here that really strikes home, to lead back to another point that Nick had made, is when all the paths don't seem straight, when you're not sure what you should be doing next, when you're not sure, you know, what way is truly going to lead you out of where you're at, it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on to your own understanding. And all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Sorry, and lean not on your own understandings. I believe I said that incorrectly. I don't want to lead anybody wrong in that, but please look it up for yourself. But that tells us there that by putting our faith in the Lord and by praying to him and saying, "Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Please lead me out of whatever situation I'm in," he's going to make the path out of that straight for you. If you're in financial strife, he might look you dead in the face and say, "You've ordered DoorDash 3 times this week. What are you doing? What do you mean you don't have the money to, you know, do whatever? You spent, you know, $60 on DoorDash this week. Of course you don't have money." And that's just, you know, a silly example. There are some people that are probably so far down a wide path that they think that they're completely lost, but they don't realize by putting their faith in the Lord, by asking for Jesus to save them, by taking that next step, they're only one step away from the narrow path that God puts you on, to putting yourself on his path, putting yourself in his hands, putting yourself onto his plan. That is what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be in God's faith and to be faithful to him. His grace and his mercy is something beyond what we can even believe, to even fathom, to start to understand. It's something that even I don't quite understand myself in a lot of times, and why we have a God that's so loving that he would willingly take down and put his son, his only son, here on earth to walk this earth for us, and to say, this earth is so ridden with sin that I'm going to make it as simple as saying, if you put your faith into me, faith into my son and his sacrifice, then you'll be saved. You'll have a place in the book of life. That's a God that I can't understand, because I'm not as forgiving as he is. I'm not as merciful as he is, and I'm not as gracious as he is.
I think that's an important part, is leaning not on our understanding, because if you are leaning on your understanding, for one, you're going to question what is true, and you're going to question it to the point that it's going to take you over, and you can't understand it, and you're not willing to understand it. But when he says, like, about, you know, that God, that same God that's wanting to bless us, and how he was made so available by Jesus Christ, I think back to when God was speaking with Abraham, and this was before Jesus Christ had died, and it wasn't easy to access Jesus. The only way you were made righteous was through the law, and by following all 614 of them. And if you didn't, you had to be up to par on making sure your sacrifices were covered. But it makes me think of when God told Abraham to look up at the stars And you see how many stars are in the sky? That's how many descendants you are going to have. And he says that your descendants are going to be the blessed generation. And it makes you think, like, am I a descendant of Abraham? And the interesting thing is if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are one of the descendants of Abraham. And the blessing that he was speaking to him about was the blessing that we were also going to be able to have what Abraham had in correlation to our relationship with God. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by their faith." And who were the Gentiles? The Gentiles were the non-religious people. They were the people not of the bloodline of Abraham and Israel. And it says that they would be justified by their faith. They weren't justified by the law as Abraham was. So the greatest blessing that we're receiving is that we're no longer held to the bondage of law. We're now held to Jesus Christ, loving him, putting our faith in him, and doing the will of the Father, which is to love God and to love our neighbors. So in worldly terms, it's kind of hard to see that being a blessing. But when you understand the reality that after this life, we're going to go one way or the other. And through Jesus Christ sacrificed, we are promised one way, and that's to Yahweh. And it was through the Son and just through accepting him, like it said, through faith. And as simple as that.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible, you know, and Nick has said it in the past before, and I think I've brought it up definitely at least once or twice myself. Since he pointed it out to me, it's the fact that God is only one breath away. Jesus is only one breath away. We say the word Yahweh without ever really, you know, sounding it out, without really thinking about it. But you take out the vowels in Yahweh, and Nick is definitely better at explaining this than I could be. But if you take out the vowels of Yahweh, you have the breath. You have that Y, that you have the exhale. All of that is God in one breath. One breath, God is right next to you. You say, "God help me," he's there for you. You say, "Jesus save me," he's there for you. Never think that there isn't a hand outstretched whenever you're drowning in a pool of water, because there is. Now, whether that may actually be literally or mentally for you, spiritually for you, just understand that God's only one step away. He's only one breath away. He's only one prayer from taking away all the things that you fear most. Putting your faith into him takes away the fear that something will happen. I think Job, honestly, if you want to go to a story of faith, Job is the perfect story to go to. He lost everything except for his wife. He went through suffering. He went through the pain of having to understand what it means to have all of his children stripped away from him. Having all the things, because he was so faithful, he was also so blessed, and he had all of these things that were stripped away from him, and he had boils from head to toe. But instead of, you know, saying, screw God or whatever, instead he got up and he prayed and he said, "Why?" And he asked God and he prayed to God, and it was only through God that the devil was even able to do all those things to Job. So if God's letting something happen in your life, understand that he's not doing it just to spite you. He's not doing it because he hates you. He does it because he loves you, and he wants you to have a lesson out of that. You can't understand a blessing if you've never understand what it means to be not blessed. You can't understand what it means to have a breath of air if you've never had your air taken away from you. You can't understand what it means to never be hungry again if you've never been hungry.
I think the best way to put it and understand that is that God is either going to make you or break you, whatever brings you closer to him. Because more than anything, the only thing that the God of the universe wants is a personal relationship with you. That's the whole reason that the Son was sent, was so that we don't have to be separated from him anymore. We don't have to go to the Holy of Holies to, you know, receive message from God. it's through this personal relationship with the Son that we're able to access Him. And one interesting thing is you're saved by your faith. And as soon as you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you begin to walk into the Spirit. Now, whether you stay with the Spirit is going to be your choice. You're going to be tempted in every way to walk away, but it's not in the Christian character to back down. And I think it's really interesting. For one thing, for me personally, that's kind of been, you know, my fight with the enemy is it's been like the more I walk with God, it's like the more shame you begin to feel, because you realize we serve such a perfect God. To fall short, you know, it hurts, you know, it begins to hurt my own heart. And that's one thing as believers that we're supposed to be praying for and we're supposed to be asking for, is that whatever breaks His heart breaks our heart. And I was reading in Galatians this morning, and this is Paul speaking to the Galatians, and he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?" That's just like, we were saved by faith. So why am I now trying to justify my righteousness by how well I'm doing based upon the law? And that right there, complete revelation that it's continually faith, faith. I grew up in a Southern Christian home. I saw it written on every single wall of the house. I guess it just gets so overlooked because it sounds so common, but we are accepted by faith and we are perfected by faith. And through having faith that He is sanctifying me, and this is all part of the process, and I'm coming closer no matter how far I feel based upon my standard of where I'm at on this, you know, this law book, this checklist that I'm trying to mark. How does that verify where my faith is? Because He told me who I am. He told me that this is going to take time, but He sees you, and being able to have that faith that it's all part of His plan, it just gives you like a satisfaction. It allows the shame to just evaporate. Because when you know who you are and you believe that, that's when it begins to take hold of your life. And, you know, because the number one issue in today is with today's generation is what the internet does, what TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook do is they spend billions of dollars a day trying to get you to think that you should be someone else. But when you, and what that does right there, the number one illness right now is mental illness. And it's due to that fact that everybody thinks that they should be here. Everybody thinks that they should be this. And I mean, in spiritual term, that's kind of what's happening to me is I'm like, man, I'm reading the book, or I see these Christians on Instagram, and I'm like, man, they just seem like they're so perfect. Why am I not there yet? And that is something that's so crazy how such a like pure thought of wanting to be sanctified can become like a crutch in my life, a crutch of shame. And it's just super interesting how the enemy is going to begin to work in your life, but you realize that the enemy's already been defeated, and he's literally nothing but a little chirping liar in your ear. And to know that Yahweh, the Almighty God, is with us. And when He says, "Do not fear," that's one thing about that Bible, is those red letters are facts, like F-A-X. And when He says, "Do not fear," I don't know, it just reminds me that He's with me. And we've already been blessed, and we've already been written down in the book of life, and we have nothing more to do here now than to continue to love God, continue to share this gospel. And through those things, and through time, and through obedience, then the sanctification process we'll be perfected, and then we'll made into the image of Christ. But until Christ comes again, or until we are met back with him, we're not going to be perfected. And to know that is a beautiful thing, because that it shows the glory of God, and it shows the anticipation of when we get with him. And when you have anticipation of what it's going to be like when we get in presence with God, we get back to Eden, as some people say, it gives you, I'm not going to say it gives you an excitement, but it definitely gives you hope. And to have hope is something that you can hold on through. And a lot of people feel hopeless. I felt hopeless for a long time. I didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. The Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is worried about itself. In this hope, we are saved. And in this hope, we are transitioned into you know, image bearers of Christ.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good, I think there was a verse on this that Jesus had spoke, and he had said something along the lines of the fact that birds don't worry about where their next meal is coming from. And unfortunately, I can't quote it word for word like I should be able to, but he says that birds don't worry about where their next meal is coming from. They're worried about today. They're worried about the fact that they already had their worm for the day. They've got babies to feed back home. You know, everybody is so caught up in the future of what I'm going to do tomorrow, what I'm going to do next week. Everybody has a 5-year plan. Everybody has a 10-year plan. But what's today's plan? What are you going to do after you get up this morning? Are you going to put your 2 socks on? You going to put your legs, you know, into your jeans? You're going to get out there and work? Are you going to do something? You know, for me, I get up every Thursday and I think I need to come up with a lesson plan or some form of topic to talk about when I get on here with Nick. And that isn't always easy. It's not always something that I necessarily want to do. I love the Lord through and through, but I can't sit here and say as a sinner that I 100% overly enjoy talking about the Lord. And I don't mean it in that way. I definitely enjoy doing this, but doing that first thing in the morning may not always be what I want to do. But I put my faith in the Lord that he's going to put an idea in my mind that's going to click with me, and it's going to make me excited for what I'm doing again. It's going to reignite that flame in me that goes, I love the Lord and the Lord loves me. And I'm sitting here today, me and Nick, I think this is a perfect testimony. I was so adamant about the fact, because we had missed 2 or 3 different recording sessions now, that I needed to be here today. I wasn't going to delay this another week. I wasn't going to delay this another couple of days. I wasn't going to let 2 more days go by without an episode being released. I was adamant in the fact that no matter what, no matter how late I had to stay up, we were going to be here tonight recording. And I had faith in the Lord that he was going to make everything okay, that he was going to be able to provide for me the sleep that I might need or the time that I might need to do whatever I need to get done.
But like you said, it's not always going to be what you want. And 99% of the time, it's not going to be what you want. And the things that you know you need to do, but you don't want to do, that's always the hardest ones. But one thing that kind of I've heard a couple weeks ago that really resonated with me is that when you know there's something you should be doing to get closer to God, it starts with conviction. And as you push through the conviction, on the other side of that comes comfort. So it always feels like, you know, whether that be doing a podcast, going to church, going to a disciple group, just these different activities that, not because of the religious activity, just because I know that that is my way of wanting to get closer to God. And it always seems like something comes up where it's like, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it. And it's in that moment that through faith, I have to be like, okay, by pushing through this, there's going to be some big step that's going to take place. Or by me not going to this, there's going to be one step away from my purpose. And to know that is all based and rooted in faith and knowing that he has what is best for us. And it's such a beautiful thing, serving a God that loves us. And I don't know, like, just the idea outside of Christianity, like the idea of gods, it just always seemed like, I don't know, there's no way that the God loved you. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way, it felt like it was about the God, but he is about us. And that's just such a crazy idea that this all-powerful God that exists outside of reality and time wants nothing more than a personal relationship with you. It's such a beautiful, beautiful idea, and it's such a beautiful truth. And it's a truth that we want all of you guys to accept and be able to experience.
I mean, yeah, I think a good point of this is the fact, as much as Christianity is based on not only what you can do for the Lord and how you can put your faith in Him, but it's also the things that He's done for us, right? He's the one that He appointed Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. He's the one that put Jesus down onto and allowed His Son to be sacrificed for our sins. He's the one that's allowed all of these things to happen to save us, right? The world had become so imperfect that he appointed one man, Noah, to build an ark and to put animals on it, to essentially wipe out the earth of as much sin as possible, and to save what was the most righteous that he could, and then rebuild. And he did make a promise that he'd never do that again because he loved us so much. He didn't enjoy doing that. That's like a father having to spank his kid because his kid isn't being disciplined. That's the only form of discipline that he understands. It may not sound right, but the dad doesn't like doing that. The father doesn't enjoy doing that. That hurts the father just as much as it hurts the son. And the Lord feels the same way every time He has to punish us, every time He can't give us what we want, because if we always got what we wanted, we wouldn't appreciate it when we wouldn't be able to appreciate it when we did get it.
But with that being said, it's about time to get this episode wrapped up. We really thank you guys for tuning in. And we know that watching our podcast in and through isn't always the easiest thing to do, because we know there's a lot more things that are probably, hitting those dopamine receptors a little more. I know there's probably something out there scratching your brain a little more. You probably wanted to hop on TikTok halfway through this, but we really appreciate you guys tuning in. And we know we might not see who's on the other side of this, but we know that the creator of the universe sees that somebody on the other side of these speakers are trying to getting to know Him. And when you seek, He promises that you will find. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous.
Thank you guys so much. You're really appreciated.